KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us. We're having a news roundup day here today. As tomorrow, Good Friday, we're going to be having a special running entitled The Medical Aspects of the Crucifixion. Trust you'll be able to join Crosstalk for that pre-recorded program. Today, though, a news roundup, a lot of news and issues that are going on. We're going to talk some about COVID today. We're going to talk about some immigration issues today. And, yes, even yesterday, we saw that the President of the United States, the first time in the history of this nation that the President honored and celebrated a Transgender Day, and matter of fact, hoisted a transgender flag over the White House. So much to make you aware of here today on the program. We thank you for tuning in. First of all, the incentives are getting greater for the vaccination. LifeSiteNews.com reports that free glazed donuts aren't the only incentives now offered to Americans to encourage them to receive the vaccine. In a push to encourage people to receive experimental coronavirus shots, the very diverse range of companies are offering free products to customers who provide proof of having gotten a coronavirus vaccine from Moderna, Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson. I mean, some of the incentives include marijuana, another cheesecake, arcade tokens. All according to the Wall Street Journal article that was published this past Sunday. Many of you have heard about Krispy Kreme making headlines when they made the announcement for glazed donuts. And then the Wall Street Journal also reported that marijuana dispensaries and arcades, matter of fact, Michigan-based marijuana dispensary Greenhouse of Walled Lake, offering a free joint with proof of vaccination. It's called Pot for Shots. The Brooklyn location of Junior's Restaurant and Bakery began dishing out free mini cheesecakes to vaccinated New Yorkers on Monday. Free fries and chips available to patrons of Super Duper Burgers and Uno Dos Tacos in San Francisco. Midwest arcade chain Updown is giving away arcade tokens to gamers who have gotten the jab. The increase in corporate incentive programs comes from Americans are getting injected at a rate of 2.62 million per day. The CDC reports that 28.6% of the overall U.S. population have been received at least one dose. That's over a quarter of the population. 15.8% have been, quote, fully vaccinated. LifeSiteNews.com says the CDC finds mask and indoor dining bans, well, they don't stop the virus, but the media ignores that. According to the CDC report published March 12th, mask mandates reduced case growth between 0 and 1.8% and COVID rate deaths by 0.7 and 1.9% taking place. That's an increase in deaths of 21 to 40 days after the mandate went into effect. Indoor dining bans decreased case growth between 0.1 and 0.4%, with an increase in cases in four time periods the bans were implemented. Restaurant bans were associated with a slight growth in COVID mortality. Taking a look here from LifeSiteNews.com, the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, appear to be fighting back tears during a Monday press conference. A news conference as 7-day COVID case counts rose among some 30 states. At the same time, Texas Governor Greg Abbott was celebrating his state's drop in COVID since opening business up and ditching the mask mandates 3 weeks ago, saying today the 7-day COVID positivity rate dropped to a new record low as 4.95%. Hospitalizations dropped to a 6-month low. This week, he said, we 1 million first vaccines available. The Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves, also repealed his state's mask mandate March 2nd, and the state's COVID indicators have also fallen there as well. From the Epoch Times, more than 100 people in Washington state have tested positive for COVID-19 after being fully vaccinated, authorities said March 30th. Epidemiologists have found evidence of 102 so-called breakthrough cases since February 1st. According to the Washington State Department of Health, further investigation is needed to identify patterns among people who contracted the virus after vaccination. This Amir Shah, the state secretary of health, said in a statement, finding evidence of vaccine breakthrough cases reminds us that even if you have been vaccinated, He said you still need to wear a mask, practice social distancing, and wash your hands to prevent spreading COVID-19 to others who have not been vaccinated. Well, the problem is the people who have received this, now over 100 cases, and this is after, we understand, after the many days wait period that have come down with COVID. Other states have also seen infections among people who were fully vaccinated. Officials in Idaho told reporters last week that breakthrough cases have been recorded, although the number was fewer than 100. South Carolina authorities said this week that 134 such cases have been identified throughout the state. Dozens of patients in Florida have contracted the CCP virus more than 14 days after being fully vaccinated. Troubling photo of the man who has this rare, horrifying reaction to the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. This is Richard Terrell, 74 years old, out of Virginia, received a J&J shot on March 6. 4 days later, he started to feel a bit off. He started feeling some discomfort. A few days later, he got an itchy rash and then began to swell. His skin turned red. His condition continued to worsen. He was admitted to the emergency room March 19th after he consulted a dermatologist. By the time he was admitted, the rash had spread over his entire body. His skin was so dry and red, it could be peeled off. Dr. Fanu Newton, a dermatology hospitalist at VCU Health, explained, quote, "We ruled out all the viral infections. We ruled out COVID-19 itself. We made sure that his kidneys and liver were okay. And finally, we came to the conclusion that it was the vaccine that he had received that was the cause." Let's also go on to LifeSiteNews.com. Authorities in Munich and Berlin yesterday suspended again the use of AstraZeneca, the vaccine there, for those under 60 after Germany's vaccine regulator reported 31 cases of a rare brain blood clot, 9 of which resulted in deaths. All but 2 of the cases involved women ages 20 to 63. The decision was made as a precaution ahead of a meeting with representatives from all of Germany's 16 states. Further recommendations were expected to be coming out from that meeting by the national medical regulators. Breitbart reporting that leaders of 23 nations have joined the World Health Organization to endorse a proposed international pandemic treaty that would establish rules for information sharing and universal and equitable access to vaccines, medicines, and diagnostics. The letter did not describe any substantive content that the country sought to put it into the treaty text, leaving unclear what purpose it would serve or how it would be implemented. The U.S. and China were not signatories to this letter calling for a pandemic treaty, but World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus had said both powers had reacted positively to the proposal. Tedros himself has endorsed the treaty ban, the treaty idea, I should say. The CCP would reap enormous political profit from a pandemic treaty that effectively ratified that conclusion by treating every nation in the world as equally culpable for the Wuhan pandemic. Demands have been made for the U.S. to contribute even more than the $4 billion it's already pledged to the COVAX global vaccination program. It's called vaccination equity, said to be a major concern for the pandemic treaty for them to address. WND.com tells us that declaring he is now free to express his opinion, the former director of the CDC and under President Trump said in an interview he believes the virus that causes COVID-19 escaped from a lab in Wuhan, China. Robert Redfield says he does not believe the claim pushed by China, the World Health Organization, establishment media, saying that the novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 evolves naturally, originating in a wet market in Wuhan. He does not buy that at all. I mean, as far as the narrative that's coming from China in that regard. Let me also just point out here, interesting story came out from the Detroit Free Press March 29th, and it says when Michiganders get a Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine paid off with certain federal funds, a new state law mandates that they must be informed that it was developed using a stem cell line from an aborted fetus. The requirements was tucked away into a broader state bill that distributed federal COVID-19 funds. Although Congress approved billions of dollars for Michigan in December, it falls on the state legislature to allocate the money. It does not include language as to how this notification process would work or who would be required to notify the recipient or who would enforce this requirement, but a spokesman for the governor did not immediately respond to questions about the issue, the Detroit Free Press reports. But this new law in Michigan saying that if you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that recipients must be notified of that it was developed using a stem cell line from an aborted baby. Well, folks, another troubling aspect, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program today, this from LifeSiteNews.com, a White House official announced Wednesday that in honor of Transgender Day of Visibility, President Joe Biden would raise a transgender flag at the White House, making Biden the first U.S. president ever to recognize the celebration. The announcement came from the White House Director of Political Strategy and Outreach, Emily Ruiz, who wrote on Twitter that the president said, quote, "Today we honor and celebrate the achievements and resiliency of transgender individuals and communities." President Biden used the opportunity to push the so-called Equality Act, a legislative move that would not only write transgenderism into federal civil rights law, but to compel medical professionals to commit abortions and transgender surgeries, expand taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. And to this end, President Biden has stressed that we must pass the Equality Act, proving what he called long overdue federal civil rights protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Ladies and gentlemen, the president issued a proclamation. Can you imagine this? A proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility 2021, which was declared yesterday. And I'm just going to quote. I've got the proclamation in my hand. "Today we honor and celebrate the achievements and resiliency of transgender individuals and communities. Transgender Day of Visibility recognizes the generations of struggle, activism, and courage that have brought our country closer to full equality for transgender and gender non-binary people in the United States and around the world. Their trailblazing work has given countless transgender individuals the bravery to live openly with and authentically. This hard-fought progress is also shaping an increasing, accepting world in which peers at school, teammates and coaches on the playing field, colleagues at work, and allies in every corner of society are standing in support and solidarity with the transgender community," wrote the president. And then near the end, he said, "Vice President Harris and I affirm that transgender Americans make our nation more prosperous, vibrant, and strong. I urge my fellow Americans to join us in uplifting the worth and dignity of every transgender person. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31, 2021, as Transgender Day of Visibility. I call upon all Americans," ladies and gentlemen, that's you, "I call upon all Americans to join in the fight for full equality for all transgender people." By the way, CNN says there's no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth. They published these sentences, and they were dealing with the executive order from Governor Noem of South Dakota, but they said, "Though the two executive orders signed by Noem do not explicitly mention transgender athletes, they reference the supposed harms and participation of males in women's athletics, an echo of the transphobic claim cited in other similar legislative initiatives that transgender women are not women. The orders also reference biological sex, a disputed term that refers to the sex as listed on students' original birth certificates." And then CNN says, quote, "It's not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth, and there is no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth." Well, actually, folks, it happens at consensus, but their eyes are blinded to that very scientific fact. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, today's a heavy topic. Is there a scientific explanation for suicide bombers?
Chris, our world today is on edge because of a suicidal terrorist. Since evolution claims to be a theory of everything, there must be an evolutionary explanation for even this self-destructive behavior. And sure enough, some evolutionists are now saying that suicidal tendencies are a variation of an evolutionary adaptation that was previously useful in some evolutionary sense. Creationists just stand back and wonder how they can be so misguided, so deceived. The Bible says that man was created initially in a very good state, in the image of God. Yet when Adam rebelled against God's order, creation was permanently distorted, and now we live in a world dominated by sin's ruinous effects. Crystal, you see, what began back in Genesis continues today, even with suicidal bombers.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day here today. Again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll have a special on entitled The Medical Aspects of the Crucifixion. Trust you'll be able to join Crosstalk for that feature. LifeSiteNews.com telling us that the widely known shampoo manufacturer Pantene is advertising its product in a commercial featuring a young boy being raised as a girl by two homosexual women, leading one commentator to call it the most disturbing commercial I have ever seen. The shampoo company is now defending mainstreaming the sexual abuse of children, he said, in a commercial in which two lesbian women dress a little boy up as a little girl and insist that the boy really is a girl, noted the Daily Wire's Michael Knowles in a podcast which had been viewed nearly a half million times. Knowles said that what the two women are doing is abusive and should be criminal. That's a quote from him. A capitalism, corporate America is going to become the biggest vessel for radical wokeism, radical leftism, warned Knowles. In 2019, more than 200 corporations signed an amicus brief urging the U.S. Supreme Court to interpret the meaning of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 64, prohibition against sex discrimination, to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Among the 206 companies who signed onto the brief originated and authored by high-powered LGBT activist groups were Airbnb, Amazon, American Express, American Airlines, Apple, Bank of America, Ben & Jerry's, Best Buy, Disney, Domino's, Expedia, Facebook, General Motors, Google, Hilton, IKEA, Macy's, Marriott, Nike, PayPal, Starbucks, Coca-Cola, and Under Armour, they report. The Christian Post telling us a three-judge federal appeals court panel has ruled in favor of an evangelical professor who was punished by Shawnee State University in Ohio for refusing to address a transgender student by the preferred pronoun, reversing a district court's dismissal of his lawsuit against university officials. The U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the allegations made by philosophy professor Nicholas Merriweather suggest the university may have violated the professor's First Amendment rights. Traditionally, American universities have been beacons of intellectual diversity and academic freedom, the Sixth Circuit opinion says. It was written by a Trump appointee, Judge Armol, paper. They were prided themselves on being forums where controversial ideas are discussed and debated. They've tried not to stifle debate by picking sides, but Shawnee State chose a different route. It punished a professor for his speech on a hotly contested issue, and it did so despite the constitutional protections afforded by the First Amendment. The ruling was celebrated by Alliance Defending Freedom. Coming to us from ChristianHeadlines.com, a Republican lawmaker in Tennessee is pushing for legislation that seeks to prohibit the use of textbooks and instructional materials containing LGBTQ plus content from public schools. Legislation states that public schools should stay focused on teaching subjects like reading, science, and mathematics. Hey, that's a novel idea, isn't it? The bill also deems materials featuring LGBTQ plus content as inappropriate in the classroom, noting that it could be offensive to school communities who hold Christian values. We'll see if that legislation goes anywhere in the state of Tennessee. And let's go on to, this from Axios.com. And that is, remember the Equality Act, folks? It's not over yet. And they are reporting this week that there are 16 LGBTQ and social justice advocacy groups, including the Center for American Progress and the Human Rights Campaign and the Trevor Project. They're putting $4 million behind a lobbying and ad campaign to pass the so-called Equality Act. Let's get down to the border here, westernjournal.com. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas visited the southern border, paid a visit to one of the at-capacity child migrant detention centers after taking office in January and loosening the immigration policy President Biden had encouraged thousands upon thousands of people to the border. Sadly, many of these people are children. But Cruz ensured that those following him online saw exactly what he saw, which was a horrific display of people camped together only floors amid a pandemic. Cruz took to Twitter to blame the president for creating unnecessary crisis, sharing video and images of people crammed into a temporary overflow facility in Donna, Texas. He called these Biden cages, thousands of kids in the midst of a pandemic crammed in at 1,500% capacity. This is just one of the pods at Donna, seven more equally full, he tweeted out. Troubling story here, CBN News, a six-month-old baby girl rescued by a special operations team of Texas Rangers from the Rio Grande River. After a smuggler threw the little girl out of a raft, the Texas Department of Public Safety announced on social media Tuesday. In a Facebook post, a Texas DPS of the South Texas Special Operations Group, Texas Rangers Division, assisted the U.S. Border Patrol in Roma, Texas, with the rescue of a six-month-old female child who had been thrown out of a raft and into the river by human traffickers. We understand the child was safely rescued and is now with her mother in the U.S. Border Patrol custody. Border Patrol mentioned that the child and mother attempted to cross the river in rafts along with 67 other adults and 150 children. The mother reportedly paid the smugglers $3,500 to cross the river and enter into the United States. FoxNews.com reporting Border Patrol Wednesday released a shocking video of smugglers abandoning a 5-year-old girl and a 3-year-old girl at the border of the New Mexico desert in the middle of the night after dropping them from over a 14-foot border barrier. The video, released by El Paso Sector Chief Patrol Agent Gloria Chavez, shows that what she said was two smugglers scaling the fence and dropping each child onto the ground and harsh surface before tossing what appears to be some belongings down. The two smugglers then are seen fleeing from the southern side of the fence. Chavez said the little girls were left miles from the nearest residence. They were picked up by agents after they were spotted via surveillance technology. Customs and Border Protection currently has more than 5,000 child migrants in custody, while Health and Human Services has more than 11,000. Can you imagine this, ladies and gentlemen, taking these preschoolers and dropping them from a 14-foot border barrier? Epic Times is reporting that the Border Patrol has apprehended more than 150,000 illegal border crossers during the month of March alone. 50,000 more than February. That's according to the former Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan. Another 30,000 evaded capture, according to Morgan, who's received the provisional CBP numbers from internal sources. The border is wide open. It's not secure. Drugs are pouring in, and criminal aliens are pouring in right now, Morgan said during a press conference. He said the current surge can't be explained away as a normal seasonal uptick. He said, quote, they created this crisis and they're trying to spin and blame everybody but themselves. The only thing that's really been put out there that's honest is what we're going to see numbers that we haven't seen in over 20 years. Matter of fact, Breitbart jumps on this as well, saying that the migrant border surge bringing hundreds of thousands of people to Texas yielded a 20% increase in deaths in Brooks County in 2021 to date. The increase in deaths in this county, located 80 miles inland from the Mexico border, follows multiple years of decreasing deaths, according to the local sheriff. My, so troubling indeed. And, AOC, she does not let an issue go to waste here. She's condemning the use of the term surge when discussing the ongoing border crisis at the southern border. They want to say, what about the surge? AOC said on Tuesday night during an Instagram live session, well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame, she said. And that's a problem because this is not a surge. These are children and they are not insurgents and we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea philosophy. The idea that if another is coming into the population and this is an invasion of who we are, the congresswoman continued. Western Journal is reporting that Democrats in New York working on creating a fund that would give some illegal aliens and ex-convicts more than $27,000 apiece in direct payments for financial hardships related to the COVID pandemic. Politico reported Tuesday that Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo's office is in talks with state lawmakers to create something called the Excluded Workers Fund, which would offer direct payments to undocumented immigrants and formerly incarcerated individuals who missed out on work opportunities amid the pandemic. Some illegal immigrants and ex-convicts could see an immediate payment of $20,700 with an additional $6,600 coming later. And by the way, President Biden, his administration is asking government volunteers to come help amid this border crisis that is going on. Interesting indeed. And the Mexico president, Conservative Review, is President Obrador blaming President Joe Biden for this ongoing immigration crisis at the border, suggesting that the new president and his administration provoked mass migration by broadcasting open borders policies. Folks, that's not conservative talk radio. That's the president of Mexico. BizPacReview.com. When it comes to the southern border being overwhelmed, illegal immigrants during the pandemic, there is a clear double standard at play. Not only is the Biden administration packing the illegals into crowded border facilities like sardines, allegedly releasing hundreds, if not thousands, into the continental U.S. without being tested, but they're also providing, guess what, in-person schooling. In the very few communities where American children are still not back in school, and the White House is approving $86 million for hotel rooms to house some migrants, the San Diego Convention Center is also being used. Monday, the San Diego County Supervisor Jim Desmond let it be known that the San Diego Board of Education is sending teachers to the facility to provide in-person learning for migrant children. He said, quote, "We have 130,000 kids who haven't been allowed in a classroom for over a year in the San Diego United School District. It's great that there is in-person learning for the unaccompanied minors from Central America, but I wish every child in San Diego County was allowed the same opportunity for in-person teaching." Folks, it's amazing. Amazing. No, we can't have in-person teaching. It's not safe in the schools, but they're sending in-person teachers to teach the illegal immigrant children that are sitting in these holding facilities. Stunning story coming out here as well. This is from CNN. Rapper and singer Lil Nas X launched a controversial pair of Satan shoes featuring a bronze pentagram, an inverted cross, and a drop of real human blood. And they sold out almost immediately. The black and red sneakers, part of a collaboration between Lil Nas X and New York-based art collective MSCHE, was made during using Nike Air Max 97, so the sportswear brand has distanced itself from the design. In an emailed statement to CNN, Nike said it was not involved in creating the modified sneakers. Nike did not design or release these shoes, and we do not endorse them, they said. MSCHF confirmed via email March 29th that the limited edition drop there are 666 pairs, 666 pairs, sold out in less than a minute. They were priced at $1,018 a pair, a reference to the Bible passage from Luke 10:18. Okay, 1018 a pair, Luke 10:18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Each shoe's air bubble sole contains 60 cubic centimeters. That's 2.03 fluid ounces of red ink and one drop of human blood, according to MSCHF. And we understand, according to Newsmax.com, Nike is suing to drain the blood from these so-called Satan shoes. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Skeptics and critics understand the magnitude of the resurrection. They have developed numerous theories in their desperate attempts to explain away the wealth of evidence. Early Christians consistently emphasized Christ's conquering of death. Yet many in the church today only discuss this vital doctrine at Easter time, and some fail to mention it entirely when attempting to share the gospel with unbelievers. In the book, In Defense of Easter, author Tim Chafee has written a biblical apologetic that teaches readers how history supports the resurrection, why skeptical explanations come up short, and how the resurrection is a source of comfort. This book clearly affirms the power of the resurrection and why remembering the resurrection is not limited to a single day on the calendar. In Defense of Easter is available for a donation of $13 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and just a quick word to our listeners in Lubbock, Texas. Lubbock, Texas, we understand that today is the final day to register to vote for a special election that's coming up 1 month from today, May 1st. There'll be an election in Lubbock, Texas to declare Lubbock as an abortion-free city, a sanctuary city for the unborn. And if you are not registered to vote in Lubbock, today we understand being the final day to register for that May 1st election. A few more stories here before we get to the phone lines. And this is from the Epoch Times. President Biden announced March 30th that his first judicial nominations, it's a diverse slate that shows his intention to reshape the federal bench to, quote, reflect the full diversity of the American people. Among the 11 nominees are 9 women, 3 African-American women for circuit court vacancies, the first Muslim American for federal judgeship, the first appointee for the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia with an Asian American and Pacific Islander background, and the first woman of color candidate to the federal judiciary in the state of Maryland. We understand it is all about diversity. Shocking look to the White House website, WesternJournal.com reporting. Go to the White House website. Normally you'll have a picture of the president. Well, you do have the picture of the president, but you've got the vice president, Kamala Harris, standing right just off to the side. They're also not only making some changes to the White House site there, but normally when you go to the administration page, you have the president's name only. Well, now it's been changed to reflect Harris also being on that site on the administration page. The White House's official Twitter page has been changed to reflect the clear impression of dual leadership. The Biden-Harris media team seems intent on giving and welcoming users to the Biden-Harris White House. Western Journal reporting corporations will be front and center as President Biden seeks to raise taxes, according to a new report. Biden will focus on 4 major tax increases as he looks for ways to fund the infrastructure and social welfare programming. This is the massive bill. Was it close to $2 trillion? That is on top of the COVID relief so-called legislation. The biggest hit will be an increase to the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. Also wants corporations to pay a global minimum tax on profits from foreign subsidiaries. Investors would be targeted by a Biden proposal to tax capital gains at regular income for high-income Americans, and also wants to increase the tax rate for Americans making more than $400,000. To 39.6%. Okay, lifenews.com. Oh, my. Is it payoff time? What's this all about? Joe Biden has given pro-life Democrat Senator Joe Manchin's wife a cushy job in his administration after the West Virginia senator voted for the COVID relief bill that contains the biggest expansion of abortion funding in a decade. 2 pro-life Democrat senators voted yes on this COVID-19 relief bill, even though it's going to force taxpayers to pay for the killing of unborn babies and abortions. Yes, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, ultimately voted with their party to pass the overall spending package. Now, as a reward for his vote, Joe Biden intends to appoint Manchin's wife to a plum federal position that pays upward of $160,000 annually. The Washington Times reports. The Epoch Times telling us that you know about the contentious election in Iowa with the Republican legislator winning by 6 votes, and Nancy Pelosi was determined to overturn that election. Well, now the Iowa Democrat, Rita Hart, has dropped her election challenge to Representative marionette Miller Meeks and her 2020 victory. Hart on March 31st withdrew her challenge to the state-certified six-vote loss with the House Administration Committee. And it seems that Senator Murkowski in Alaska has a challenger for the next election. An early, this is WesternJournal.com, an early Republican candidate announced plans Monday to seek the Alaska U.S. Senate seat that's been held since 2002 by Lisa Murkowski. This is Kelly Shibaka, who has led the Alaska Department of Administration since 2019. She said she's running for the Alaskans who believe government is of the people, by the people, and for the people, and saying that the D.C. insiders need to be held accountable. Murkowski is widely seen as a moderate, has at times been at odds with her party, including on issues like abortion and even in criticism, her criticism of former President Trump. She's one of seven Republican senators who voted to convict President Trump. Earlier this month, the state Republican Party leaders in Alaska voted to censure Murkowski over that vote. There's a lot of talk about voter ID being racist. Oh, I've heard that from a number of individuals in Congress. Well, here is from WND.com. Democrats contending laws requiring voters to present photo ID amount to discriminatory suppression of the black vote. Well, are pushing legislation in the Senate that would gut state voter ID laws. But a new Rasmussen national telephone and online survey finds that 69% of likely black voters and 75% overall believe that voters should be required to show photo ID, such as a driver's license, before being allowed to vote. Only 21% are opposed to such a requirement. Listen also to this. I mean, there is issues going on here. The NAACP has sent a letter now urging the NFL to cut ties with Fox. It was sent a scathing letter to Roger Goodell, March 9th. Derek Johnson, president and CEO of the NAACP, is urging the league to cut ties with Fox during the NFL's annual broadcasting rights negotiation. In the letter, Johnson expressed grave concern about the ancillary implications of the league's affiliation with Fox because contract money could help would help the network's news portion, which he charged contributes to inflame racial division and propagate an unstable political climate. The NFL's programming should not be used as a bargaining tool for Rupert Murdoch to help fund Fox News' hatred, bigotry, lies, and racism, Johnson wrote. Fox News foments racism, he says, undermines public health recovery from the pandemic, and repeatedly attacks the legitimacy of last year's presidential election, a propagandist ploy that fueled the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. So NAACP urging Fox, urging NFL, cut your ties with Fox. By the way, PJ Media reports, according to a new poll by YouGov and Yahoo Sports, over a third of Americans are watching sports less today than a year ago because of politics. Fully half of Americans have changed their viewing habits for sports, as some viewers, 11%, claim they watched more sports because of political advocacy, but a third saying that they are watching it less. Okay, let me just hit another story or two, and then we'll get to some phone lines, and let's see. Oh, yeah. Not only do we ban President... Oh, let me do one other story here on this ID issues and elections. We know what's going on with elections and condemning voter integrity laws. Well, there's a new memo that has come out, and this is from the National Review. From a new memo from Delta CEO Ed Bastian, who is condemning Georgia's voting integrity law, saying, quote, "I need to make it crystal clear that the final bill is unacceptable, does not match Delta's values." You know, it doesn't want this photo ID to vote. Yeah, by the way, to get on a Delta flight, the story points out, you have to present a government-issued photo ID. And then once again, prove the name on your boarding pass matches the legal name on your unexpired government-issued ID. If asking someone to obtain a photo ID is a racist act, then Delta and the entire airline industry is racist, says the article here. Interesting concept indeed. Also, Facebook has notified Trump's children that posting in his voice will result in censorship. They do not even want the voice of Donald Trump coming out. ahead of Tuesday evening's interview between Laura Trump and former President of the United States Donald Trump, Facebook notified the Trump family of an ongoing blanket ban on any content in the voice of President Trump, and that would take action against any attempt to post his comments on their social media profiles on Facebook or Instagram. Eric Trump, the second son of the president and husband of broadcaster Laura Trump, posted on his Twitter account a message from a Facebook employee reminding him that any comments made by the former president to his wife would not be permitted to be shared on either of the social media platforms. Isn't that amazing? Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Perhaps you want to make a comment on one of these issues or another current event issue, 800-733-9829. Western Journal reporting, troubling news here as well. Athletes that are competing in the U.S. Olympic trials will be allowed to kneel during the national anthem as well as participate in other racial and social justice demonstrations, according to new guidance from the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee. The documents released Tuesday that said such demonstrations will be allowed without fear of sanction. Demonstrations include kneeling or raising fist on the podium or at the start line during the national anthem, according to the released document. Athletes are allowed to wear clothing and accessories with Black Lives Matter or Trans Lives Matters slogans or words such as equality or respect on them. Acceptable demonstrations also include orally advocating for racial and social justice. Athletes are also encouraged to use their voice in other forums like the press, social media, in areas outside of the trials venues in support of causes they believe in, the document read. I wonder if one challenges those aspects, if they are going to be allowed in or not. And by the way, if you're listening in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma chapter of Council on American Islamic Relations announced earlier this week that an imam, Imad Nkasi, would become the first imam, Islamic prayer leader to offer a prayer in the Oklahoma Senate floor, having occurred earlier this week. Let's go to the phone lines here today, and let's begin in Maryland. Alan is calling in. Hi, Alan. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call today, sir. Just want to talk about the new Integrity Act law that is Brian Kemp put in down in Georgia. I mean, why are so many people against this? I hear the president of the United States, Joe Biden, being very critical of it. He even says they should move the MLB All-Star Game out of Atlanta. I mean, I think that Biden is being ridiculous by saying this, because actually this law is good. You have to have proven signature verification. You have to have proper ID. So in my opinion, you know, what Brian Kemp done was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it cuts down on the elections because this was totally fraudulent this year. Let me get your take on it.
Well, yeah, I agree. It's just outrageous. Okay, so we're going to say you can't have, you know, a major sporting event in that state because of they're showing integrity at the polls? I mean, it really is outrageous. Again, I believe to go to the Democratic National Convention, what do you have to do? You have to show your credentials. You have to show that photo ID to get into most government buildings. You have to have that photo ID available. And even as Delta, based in Georgia, complained about this voter integrity aspect going on, you got to show photo ID to get on their planes. It's a double standard. Thank you, Alan, for the call. We are up against a break. We'll take the break. We'll come right back to more of your phone calls here today on Crosstalk. It's a news roundup day here today, and we'll be back in just 1 minute on the VCY America Network. Stay with us.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Wisconsin is ground zero in a battle over the Constitution, so writes one author, and he's right. And what it's about? A constitutional convention, a con-con, or maybe they've come up with a new name to confuse people, an Article 5 convention. Call it what you want. It's dangerous. My friend, the late Phyllis Schlafly, well, I interviewed her many times about the dangers of a constitutional convention. The so-called conservatives or neocons pushing this, and there are many of them, they think that they can open up the Constitution and put in the amendments they want and stop the progressives and Marxists and globalists from adding on to the Constitution. That's absolutely 100% wrong. And folks, you'd be shocked at who's promoting this idea. Well, in Wisconsin, it's Senate Joint Resolution 8 and Assembly Joint Resolution 9. Maybe you want to let your elected officials in Wisconsin know. No, no. All they got to do is get a number of states to agree to this, and we've got a constitutional convention, and they can destroy the Constitution.
News coming out of the state of Arizona. Arizona Senate leadership has announced it's hired a team of independent auditors to complete a comprehensive full forensic audit of the 2020 election in Maricopa County, including a hand recount of all ballots. Let's go back to the phone lines. Anna from Watertown, you are on the air.
God bless you. Thank you. I apologize for this connection. Luke 10, 18, 19, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample sin and on the serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Wasn't it said that in the federal government, if any government, anybody lifted up homosexuality, they would be executed?
If anybody did what? Hello, Anna. Okay, I guess we lost our connection with Anna. I didn't get the point. Something if people, I think she was asking if people who spoke against homosexuality to be executed. I don't know of any such matter like that here in the United States, and I'm not sure if that's where you're going or not. Let's go to Courtney next. Miami, you're on the air.
God bless all of you saints, and I've been listening to your program for years, and News Roundup is so important. Today, we see how it's a mockery to God what we're doing, from the White House to the gym shoes to the lesbians raising a little boy like a girl. Saints, stay in the Word. Pray that people be saved, that God sends you to them. Like this little money that they're giving us, Walmart has a great sale on King James Bibles, where you can buy, and Bible tracts, where you can ask God before you go out, Lord, show me who you want me to give these to. Go to those that nobody else would want to go to. God will lead you. And I want to just say one verse, Romans 1 and 22. And this is from White House on down. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Anytime you don't know what you're born as, you're becoming foolish. Stay in the Word, saints, and watch over your children. God bless you all now.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Elaine in Antigo, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I would just like to ask everyone, please do not say President Biden, because he was not elected. He is illegitimately and fraudulently physically occupying the White House right now. But he was not elected. He is not the president. So please, everyone, never, ever, ever say President Biden, because he is not our president. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts on that issue. Elaine, Maryland, and Frazeesburg. Oh, by the way, he was inaugurated as president. Maryland and Frazeesburg, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hello. I think we should impeach Biden and Harris.
Do you know how that happens?
They should not be in office.
Do you know how that happens, Marilyn?
People.
Well, it happens from the Congress. The U.S. House of Representatives have to launch articles of impeachment. Do you think Nancy Pelosi's house is going to do that?
She should be impeached, too.
Thank you, Marilyn. Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say thank you for that lady that called about Biden not being the president. It does hurt my ears to hear someone call him president, but I also wanted to say something about Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and how they're rejecting Trump's children from speaking for their dad. And I just want to say that when Mark Zuckerberg got on Facebook today and posted something, it felt good to my heart to unfollow him. And I know it's nothing that I could do, but it was just one little step of, I don't like you, and I'm glad that I don't have to hear from you again. Hmm. But I want to know if anyone knows how we can get onto President Trump's social media platform. I did go on it, but I couldn't find where I could actually maybe, you know, join something.
I'm sorry, we lost Julie there. Let me just say this. I believe that that is still under development, and so I don't believe that there's any broad means yet for individuals to get on to that platform, but to understand it's still under development. Pat in Paducah, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was calling to find out, everything that I read and that I hear in the news about what's going on in the country, I was wondering, as we private citizens, what can we do to stand up against, because we're so heavily criticized, you know, that we're terrorists, we're racist, you know, we're evil, and it seems like the other side, they can say and criticize and hurt the American people, and nothing is done. And I want to know, in the face of that, what is it that can we do to unite, you know, to be together, to be strong, so we're not being struck down and hurt?
Thank you, Pat, here for the call. And as many times we have guests on this program, they give action steps on the particular issue that they represent. But it's so important, number one, to be informed on the issues that are going on and to inform others around you as well. It's important to reach out to those who represent you, to let your voice be heard. Some say, well, it doesn't do any good. Well, they're there to represent you, and you have the opportunity to also cast your vote and on Election Day. Continue to do that. Get together with organizations that hold your views. For instance, in our state of Wisconsin, we have a group, a fantastic group called Wisconsin Family Council, and they're working to help get the information out. But groups like this and crisis pregnancy centers and others, they need people to come alongside to come help and certainly to help get the message out. So important, in that regard. And prayer. And certainly to be engaged in the matter of prayer and to be salt and light. Friends, the way that you can change a heart is for people to come to know Christ the Savior, to place their trust in Him. And it's so critical to be salt, to have an impact on our society, but be light, to share the good news of the gospel. And what a great opportunity this very time of year, as we remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, here as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday. We serve a risen Savior today, folks, so you don't need to live a life of defeat, but one that comes with victory in knowing Him. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.